Excellent. Well, welcome everybody. This is a Learning Grow call. It's February 7th. It's 5 p.m. Eastern time. We have families from all over the country on this call. And just to name a few, we've got Minnesota and Michigan, which are both pretty cold and freezing. And then we've got South Lake / Dallas, Texas, which I'm imagining is warmer there than it is here today.
It is cold here today, though.
It's really windy.
Really windy. We've got Colorado represented. Emmy, are you in Colorado? Nice. And then we've got Baltimore with the Daly family. So we are, and then Len G is holding down the fort in Florida. And wherever anybody else is, if I missed anyone, welcome to the call. It's going to be an amazing Learning Grow call. I'm going to get it going because it's 5:05 now. We really want to be respectful of Elizabeth and Abigail's time. Is it jujitsu that you have later on?
Yes.
Is that right?
So yeah.
Jujitsu at 6:30. We need to have them out of here by about 6:05, 6:10 Eastern time. So I'm going to hand the microphone over to Elizabeth and Abigail in just a minute here and have them answer a couple questions to get us going. The purpose of these calls, these Learn and Grow calls, it's really just like the name, Learn and Grow. The purpose of them is to help us learn something new that will help us to become a better version of ourselves, become a better version as a family, help us to gain new insights, new techniques, new strategies. And most of the time, those strategies, those insights, those opportunities to grow ourselves, to become the best version of ourselves individually and also as a family, many times they're actually going to come from inside of our own community, and they're going to be shared within stories. So what I'll invite you to think about today as Elizabeth and Abigail share their story is, what is it from their story that you can see that is similar to the experiences you've already had? And also, what are some new things that you might pick up from the way that they share to some of these questions that allow you to kind of rapidly find new ways of creating meaning, engagement, productivity for yourself and for your family? So these Learn and Grow calls, we're going to have another 40 plus of them this year. This is Learn and Grow call number 2. And at this point, I'm going to hand it over and ask Elizabeth and Abigail to both simultaneously share really just who they are, who the Perez family is, especially Abigail and Elizabeth, and then what the idea of the how to be a super kid, where that came from, and really what the mission is, so that we can all kind of get a feel for who Elizabeth, Abigail are, and what it is that has brought them to this call today. So ladies, go ahead and take it away.
You want to start?
Okay. So
he wants to know, tell them a little bit about our family, if you were to describe our family.
Okay, so the first thing that comes to mind is peace, because the first letters of our names in order from oldest to youngest, it spells peace. So my dad's name is Philip, and he's the oldest, and the first letter is P. And then my mom, Elizabeth, is the second oldest, so she's E. I'm the oldest child, so I'm the third oldest in the family. So there's A for Abigail. And then my brother's name is Cameron. He's the middle child, so he's C. And Ellie's our youngest. She's really sweet. And it's E. So P-E-A-C-E. And what we really like to do is we like to work on like projects and stuff. We like to play, and we like to go to national parks.
Tell them their mission with the parks.
We're trying to get all 60. I think there's 60.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's 60. And we've been to 40. 40.
Yeah. And then I can fill in a little bit. Philip and I have been married for 15 years, and all three of my kids were born in North Carolina at Duke, and we moved to the Dallas area when Abigail was about to start kindergarten. And we do not homeschool. I know some people have thought that from the GoBundance family, but we do view our home as a learning laboratory. And so we're big on environment and how you create an environment that sparks creativity. And we also don't watch TV. That's something else that's a little different about us. We strive to live a healthy lifestyle with the goal of making a positive contribution to society. So we look at what we're consuming, what we're eating, and also how we're giving back. So that's just, in a nutshell, who we are as the Perez Peace Family.
Excellent. Thank you. And I want to circle back on the learning laboratory after we hear a little bit about the, and maybe you can share it simultaneously with telling us a little bit about the Super Kid mission and Super Kid project.
Do you want to tell them what the Super Kid mission is? Let's leave it back here.
Sure. Yeah. So the Super Kid mission is to get as many super kids as possible to be super kids. And
what does that mean?
It means that like all the people who like super kids, all the super kids can work together to change the world. Because I believe kids can make an impact in the world, and like you don't have to be older to make an impact. Like anyone can do anything.
So I think part of what she's trying to communicate is that that we are all called to do something great in life, and part of that is to make a contribution in our corner of the world, and that you don't have, there's no criteria as to how old you need to be to make that difference. So whether it's sharing your gifts or being kind with other people, being a super kid is really using what you already have to make a positive difference in someone's life.
Yeah, and there's this great line in the book. And it's in the Super Kid song, which is, your powers don't require that you're knocking down towers. And in many cases, when we hear the word superhero, many times we think of Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, the Incredible Hulk, Iron Man, Wonder Woman, all of these individuals who have these powers that are beyond human capability. And when I read the How to Be a Super Kid book, something that I take away is what you just said, Elizabeth, which is it's not as difficult, and as you don't have to be something really special that is different than everyone. There's actually something inside of each of us that is uniquely super that we all have a capability of bringing to the world.
Right. Yeah. So it's really using what you already have. It's not supernatural per se, where like it's not that you are so strong that you can knock down a tower, pick up a car, or fly, but rather the gift of kindness can go a long way, or the gift of encouragement, or a note to someone telling them that you appreciate them can go a really long way for that person that day, and maybe even for the long run. So it's utilizing what you have and doing what you can to find ways to serve others.
And that's a little bit about the Super Kid kind of philosophy. What you've explained. How have you taken that philosophy and turned it into a project? Mm-hmm. Talk about the book, the way you've brought your community together, some of the publicity that Abigail has gotten, the number of books sold. Just give us an update on what has happened with taking the Super Kid philosophy and idea and actually turning it into a physical, tangible experience for the world.
Okay, sorry. Hold on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're frozen.
Okay. It just did. Okay.
Yeah, I'm frozen.
You're frozen. Reminds me of Genji.
Here, let me hit stop. Let me try the stop video, and then I'll come back on. There you go. Okay. I'm frozen. So maybe we'll step back to what is the book about? And you know, I know one of the questions you wanted to ask is take us through the ABCs of writing a book. And I think this is a good time to kind of do that, because in terms of how you write a book, there's a question that you have to answer, which has driven everything that has come out of the book.
Great.
So when Abigail was four, she had this dream of being a published author and illustrator. And so really her journey starts way back. This wasn't something she did overnight. Do you remember why you wanted to do that?
I wanted to write my book. Okay, so I really wanted to write my book because I believe it could have an impact and it could help other kids know that they are called to do something awesome in their life.
Yeah, so part of, she has a passion project of inspiring kids. And so when you go out to write a book, the first thing I would say is know your why. Like, why do you want to write a book? And if you know your why, that's going to drive the direction of how you take your book. And so Abigail wanted to inspire kids, and she also loves superheroes. And she got to the point where she realized she didn't want to write about an individual superhero. She wanted a book that inspired kids to be superheroes, because this book is really for everyone and not about an individual. The book isn't about Abigail. So the first thing would be know your why. Like, why do you want to share your story, whether it is a nonfiction story or it's a fiction story? And for Abigail, it's her passion project. So it's for a cause bigger than herself, because she believes that children can change the world, but she's not putting the burden on herself. She's putting the mission for others to spread to other kids who believe they can change the world. So it's actually an empowering mission versus Abigail as an individual would change the world. It's a lot more powerful when you can empower everyone to make a contribution to their corner of the world. Mm-hmm. So the first would be to know your why. The second would be know who it's for. Who is your audience? Who are you writing the book for? And why would they care, right? And so is it for children? And if it is for children, there's a big difference in interest between, you know, a preschooler versus school age kids, or elementary to intermediate, middle school, high schoolers. So know who your audience is when you're writing your book. Granted, her book has principles that can cross all ages. She has a very specific age group. Do you want to tell them who it's specifically targeted for?
Well, the age group is like, was it kindergarten through fifth or sixth grade? Yeah.
And so that's kind of the age group where she's at too. Her school goes kindergarten through fourth, and she's about to enter intermediate school, which is fifth through sixth. So those are her peers, because she knows them. She's surrounded with kids that age, and so she knows how to communicate. That's how she's communicating to them, by being just authentic. She's not trying to communicate to a group of children that she's not familiar with. The other thing is, what type of outcome do you want out of your book? Like, what would make your book successful to you? Like, do you want your book just to be sold? Do you want your story shared? Is it really just for family and friends? Or is it for a certain cause? Or maybe is it to create awareness? So understanding what it's for and why these people would be interested is something to think about. And then what type of outcome do you want? And see, I didn't realize this before, but oftentimes for authors, the outcomes vary. Like, for some, it's because they want speaking engagements, or they want to be viewed as the leading authority on a topic, or it gives them credibility on a topic. So knowing, you know, what is the outcome? What would make it successful? And also understanding the reality that most books, unless you're already a famous person or a New York Times bestselling author, you're probably not going to sell more than 250 books. So it's not really that lucrative unless you have, you're famous, or you have the marketing and you have a network of a lot of people that will buy your book. But if that's not really your goal, if your goal is really just to accomplish the goal of publishing, then that shouldn't be something that you measure against. And then the other thing to think about is, how are you going to write the book? Do you have the time to write a book? How long do you want it? Is it a picture book? Is it a novel? Is it a chapter book? Do you have an environment to write it? What we found, and something that Brother James was talking about when I had mentioned, I see our house as a learning laboratory, we don't homeschool, is that we create space and every room has a different purpose for kids to, for our family to do certain activities. And so having an environment that inspires you, I know that for adult authors, sometimes they will go off somewhere for a week or two or even longer at a time just to have a quiet or an inspiring place without distractions. Are you willing to give up things? If your schedule's extremely packed and you don't have time to add things, writing a book is probably going to be very challenging. And you may find that it's practically impossible because writing a book takes a lot of time. How long did it take to write your book?
A little bit over a year.
And how many drafts? About a year. Tell them about the drafts and the...
I had 24 drafts. I had 24 drafts. They were all based on making different books, actually. So before I got to How to Be a Super Kid, I think it's, what was my first draft? Oh, it started with Super A. That was my first draft.
I think you had something besides Super A. If you went on this computer a little while.
Yeah. I think Super A was my first draft because I started like writing, because I started writing books for school, and then I wanted to make a real book, so I wrote a book for school, and then yeah, I think it was Super A, and then I wanted to publish it. Remember, I wanted to publish Super A, so I made different stories, but that's when I realized it was about I realized that it was about one individual, and it was only about mostly girls, and I wanted it to include all kids, so I wrote another book called Super Kids, so there's boys and girls in it, but I realized that it was a story, and it was focused on the superheroes being just really individuals. And I wanted everyone to feel like that they can be super kids. So that's when I came up with How to Be a Super Kid. So everyone knows how they can be a super kid.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and just tell us a little bit about the super kid. Tell us a little bit about how to be a super kid.
Okay. Well, first, I would say that it all starts with having a good mindset and good routines. So the first part's where it says early to bed, early to rise. I forget what it was. Early to bed, early to rise.
I can grab
helps your mind become healthy and wise. How am I forgetting this? I'm so used to the Super Kid song now.
The song has programmed your brain.
The song I remember from this song. I go to bed early, and early's when I rise. But I forgot that because I know go to bed early, and then early's when I rise. But there's another part of it that requires it.
Yes. I
can't believe I'm forgetting it. Oh. Early to bed, early to rise helps your mind become sharp and wise. How did I forget?
I love it. Because you've heard the song, when we shot the video the other day, we only listened to the song like 30 times in a row. So it programs us.
In my head. I used to remember the whole book by heart.
Sorry about that. When you make a song, sometimes you can't put all the words in there. So that I'll take responsibility for programming you. So one thing. So you said a good mindset, a good routine.
Yeah.
Tell me about when we shot the video. Tell me about eating clean.
Eating clean. It says so in the song. It says. Mine is affirmations. Yep, so every super kid has a super routine. Mine is affirmations. And eating clean. Yeah. But in the book it says don't forget to eat your protein, veggies, and fruit. It's a must if you want to earn your super suit.
Tell them okay.
So that means that you should always eat protein, like in the morning. you can have eggs and veggies and fruit. So say for breakfast, maybe if you wanted protein, veggies, and fruit for breakfast, you can have like eggs. Eggs is good protein, right? Yeah. So veggies, maybe you could have a salad for part of it. Like sometimes my mom makes me salads sometimes, and they're really good, and she puts fruit in them. She does salads a lot for lunch too. So you want to make sure you have all of them. You want to make sure you have protein, veggies, and fruit in all of your meals.
Well, yeah, and eating clean just means making healthier choices, yeah. Food choices that, because it, what you eat impacts your overall well-being, your mind, and your ability to think clearly and to remember things, and even your energy level is impacted by being able to eat in a healthy way. And what you put in your body impacts your overall health. And so having control over that, and it's a first way that you can take care of your body, because it's like as a superhero, how can you serve others if we don't serve ourselves?
Definitely. Yes. And having been with you for 3 days, just the way that you all, the way you eat is inspiring, because it's tricky when you have families to make sure that you're consistently putting that time and that energy into to taking care of your physical energy, which really controls that mental energy, which gives you the ability to have those extra resources, that little extra in the tank to take a passion project that's just an idea and turn it into reality. And you said it, writing a book, although it can be challenging, and you have to have those extra reserves and that extra energy to be able to follow through on that goal. So yes, eating clean. And are there any other parts about being a super kid, like, or being, or for an adult embracing the super kid inside of us? So there's a good routine, a good mindset, affirmations, eating clean. What about exercise?
Yes. So if I were to summarize the book, it's almost like if you take, there's really no self-help for kids or self-improvement for kids, but if you were to take those books out from the bookstore or Amazon, and you take Tony Robbins meets Dr. Seuss, and you put it in a book, it would be How to Be a Super Kid.
Absolutely.
Book rhymes, but the principles are solid, and then actually the principles are good for any age. The way it rhymes and the way it's illustrated, it's perfect for K through sixth grade. But the way we look at it is, as with anything in life and how we approach our family, is I call it the slow drip. It's very difficult to change. Nobody, and a lot of people resist change. And diet is one of the biggest things. As you know, there's bad diets. People are trying to lose weight. They yo-yo diet. And so we think about lifestyle changes, that the goal isn't I'm going to lose a certain amount of pound or I'm going to do X. It's what can I do for the rest of my life that takes care of my body, takes care of my mind, takes care of my soul. And so the principles in the book, like we're talking about, it's really about the slow drip. What little things can we do in our everyday life that over time that slow drip becomes transformative, right? Not, okay, we've been doing life this way, but all of a sudden we're going to swipe it clean and we're going to, you know, just be in shock of change. That's not how we do it. So with the morning routine, starting off our day, that's a slow drip. We do our affirmations, we do our devotions, we do our journaling. We make it simple. It's being played. The kids recorded themselves doing it. They can listen to it while we're at the breakfast table. And once we're done eating, they're journaling. It's something that's just integrated. We don't have to say every day, I need an hour of your time to do this. It's just part of our life. And so their breakfast or their meals, it's just that we've always just kind of introduced more vegetables, more whole foods into their diet. So it's not a shock, because our bodies don't really like shocks, or like you start to acquire taste for healthier foods the more that you do it. The other thing is exercise. So Brother James can attest, we're very active. But it's just our lifestyle. We have fun doing it. It's not like we're drilling our kids to go lift weights. We just have fun. You just get on a skateboard, get on bikes, get on scooters, learn jiu-jitsu for self-defense, and also learning how to, you know, respect and discipline, and or dance, swim, or whatever. And so I think you can just incorporate the exercise with what your kids enjoy and what naturally enjoy doing. Because we don't have TV, they realize that going outside and playing is a lot more fun, you know, because there's other neighborhood kids that can come out, and it's something that we just do. The other thing that the book talks about is creating stretch goals. And so creating stretch goals, we talk about this with our kids. What's a stretch goal that you want to create for yourself, whether it has to do with physical stretch goal, like for Abigail, she was rock climbing the other day.
And I wanted to tell them
what happened?
I think I was trying to get less than 20 seconds because the first time I did, I got like 22 seconds. And then I forgot what my best was.
I think it was like 16 seconds.
I thought it was 18.
Or maybe it was 18.
Yeah, 18 or 16. I don't know.
Something like that. And so it's just being able to say, okay, this is what I did and I timed it. What can I do to stretch myself just a little more? And I think if we can train ourselves to do hard things, we are going to prepare ourselves for the reality of what life is, because life is not easy. Raising kids isn't easy. And when they're on their own, it's not going to be easy. And so just being, training them how to be resilient, that life isn't, it's not just doing the things that you're, that's easy or that you're good at, but being willing to stretch and trying new things, or even just trying to be better at what you're doing, but have fun while you're doing it. It's not the end of the world. You know, the other principle that's being covered, which is part of the song, when life gets hard
and you hit the wall, don't be afraid to fail, get up, stand up, then it starts flying.
Yeah, so.
What does that mean to you, Abigail? What does that mean to, like, when life gets hard and you hit the wall, don't be afraid to fail, get up, stand tall? What does that mean to you?
Well, that means, like, when, like, for example, when I was writing my book, I hit a bunch of walls because I kept getting stuck and worried that I wouldn't be able to write a book, because there was a spot when I was in the middle of writing Super A that I was like, oh, this isn't working. I really want to include everyone. And then it just, like, was getting really hard. And when you hit, when I hit the wall, it's like you're stuck, and then you feel like you aren't really moving forward. You feel like you're just moving backward, and you're not really, like, you're not really doing it, having any progress or getting better at something. But it says in the poem, when life gets hard and you hit a wall, don't get discouraged from the fall. Pick yourself up and do not fear. Press on, your breakthrough is near. It says, pick yourself up and do not fear. So when life gets hard, you feel like giving up. So you shouldn't fear. You should pick yourself up, and you should press on because the breakthrough is near. And that means you should keep going and try your hardest to keep going, like breaking through a wall. And it says, press on, your breakthrough is near. So when you're getting hot, when you're getting like all, you're stuck, like you're stuck and stuff, you don't fear that you're going to mess up. You keep going because you know that your breakthrough is near. Because,
and you're learning, right?
Yeah, because you know that when you hit a wall, you should keep going because you know you're going to break through if you keep going. Because if I just gave up and messed up writing a book, I wouldn't get to here. So I kept pressing on until I finally made my breakthrough through that wall when I came up with Superkid. Superkid was the next part. And then I hit the wall from Superkid, and then I broke through, and then I went, got to have to be a super kid.
Was it easy or hard? Do you think writing a book is easy or hard?
I think it's actually
The whole process.
Yeah, the whole process is really hard. But if you if it's like your first time writing a book and stuff, and you're like writing about a bunch of different topics, each time you write a book, or if you wrote a book and then you're writing about a different book that's a different topic, then it's usually pretty hard and you have lots of drafts and stuff. But if you already know what you're writing about, well, not everyone doesn't really know what they're writing about, but if I was to write another book about super kids that was like, it had more rhymes and principles in it, I think my next book is probably going to be like different. But, if I was to write another book that had all the principles in it, which it probably will, I would get it done in less time than I did before, because before I was like coming up with drafts. Yeah, I was brand new. But if I know what I'm writing about, I'm probably gonna have maybe a few less drafts and come up with other things, but faster. Like I'd come up with other rhymes and stuff. Like,
so it's almost like
all those.
The first time around is always going to be harder. But I will say that just as a parent going through this journey with Abigail, we go back to this book. I go back to the book because every step of the way, there will be a wall. You don't ever know. There's no guarantee to success. You could write the best book in the world and no one buys it. So you have to get to the point that you believe in it so much. And whatever project that has come out of this, even working with Brother James, there's a lot of unknowns. And that's kind of just being an entrepreneur. So you're taking the risk and knowing that you could, quote unquote, fail through society's eyes. Maybe you don't make the book sales. Maybe you don't even break even. But you learn from it. And so something you can't take away, or no one can take away from you, is the journey and the process and what you've learned through that process and the experience of being able to go through, actually follow through your dream. And I don't think there's anything wrong with changing your dreams, but don't give up on your dream too quickly. And that's something I would say, is that oftentimes people have expectations that may not necessarily be realistic, and they give up too soon. And when something that Brother James was telling me, that Hal had told him, it took a long time before Hal's book really took off. And he was doing 100 podcasts and it took a couple of years. We can see his success now as he looks back over several years, but it's hard work. Even for Abigail, she's skipped out on certain activities, including birthday parties and stuff, working on this, doing little book signings, doing podcast interviews, and you know, getting pulled out so that she can do photos for a magazine. While that can be fun, it's also hard work. And so you have to be willing to give something up. It's not just you see the highlight and you're like, oh, that's not fair, because you know, she gets to publish a book and she's, you know, now I see her video or now I read her article. That's a representation of 6 years of her dream and a lot of hours.
Yeah.
That's kind of just the reality. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, even with the song or anything else. We're just willing to invest in her vision and her mission because we really believe in it. And that's what you have, is believe in what you're doing.
And I want to come back to that. And first I want to open it up. We're about halfway in. I want to open it up to anyone, and I'm going to go through. Does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask? Whether it's does anybody have any questions? Tyler, go ahead and unmute yourself and go ahead and ask the question.
How did you actually publish your book?
Great question, Ty.
Do you mean to answer that
one? So to publish it, Does he mean like?
Do you mean the, so say that like after she wrote it, how did it, how was the technical process of publishing? Yeah. Is that your question? Okay, oh, I can answer that one because that's something, so Abigail wrote the book and then I helped with getting it technically published. And that was kind of the next part that I was gonna transition to. So after she wrote her book, something Abigail did was she got peer reviewed, meaning that she took her book and shared it with people at school, with people we knew, with Brianna and Josh, who you guys know. And she shared it with a bunch of people. And she did this actually with her first draft the year before. And then she started changing it over time. So she wrote a draft, just printed what she had, and then started having people read it, provide feedback, edit it, and then I weighed it out. So depending on, if you remember some of the questions I asked was, you know, who is your target audience? Depending on your target audience, you have to determine how do I want my book printed and how do I want it distributed? And so that's kind of a technical thing. So if it's a children's book, it's gonna look different than a book for grown-ups, right? So with a children's book, is it a picture book? Do I need an illustrator? How big do I want it? Do I want it hard? Card cover, paperback? So that will determine which route you go. If you want a hardback book, then you need to, and you want to self-publish it, then you need someone other than just Amazon. Ingram Spark is another one of the world's largest distribution company. And that gives you access to hardcover, paperback, and you can still do Amazon. So those are just kind of technical things. And then you get it laid out. So you can either hire someone, or if you are familiar with the publishing industry, then you can do it yourself. I have experience with the publishing industry from the standpoint of creating magazines in the past for Duke. And so I just took it upon myself to lay out her book. After that, you do more editing. You get a proof printed, and you edit some more. So this is just you're looking at a 2 to 3 month process from the time that you're quote unquote done with your book. You're not done. And then about a month before you plan to launch your book, you want to make sure that everything is uploaded because sometimes you just don't know when your books will actually be delivered to you. So if you're planning on having some on hand, you probably want to have that uploaded to wherever and printed about a month in advance. And that's how you quote unquote publish it. And then there's more where you have like a book launch team and then a book release event, marketing. And then you have to ask yourself, how hard do I want to work?
Yeah, and I want to go back to something here that you said then through the beginning, which I think is really important. And it's the idea of having and I can't remember the exact word that you used on how you described this, but I use it as you beta tested the book, peer reviewed. You put the book out there before you spent all the time to take that next step. You put it out there and actually gave it to the audience that you wanted to serve to get feedback so that you could then iterate on the book to make it even better before you went to step, you know, part two, part three, part four. And I just want to highlight that point because many times as entrepreneurs, we get really excited and we don't share any of our work with anyone before it's officially done. And it actually gets out there and it's nowhere near as good as it could be without getting those peer reviews and getting that feedback before you go to actually, you know, the print. So do you want to speak any more to that point and what you observed in regards to what you saw from the feedback?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so some of the feedback that I got was, some of the feedback I remember getting, okay, let me see here, where is?
I can give an example while she's thinking.
So, I know what it is. Okay. Is it the scoops?
No, but go ahead.
Okay. So, this page used to be just the girls, just those two girls were standing together, where it said scoop number 4 and stuff. So some of my friends told me that because scoop number 1, 2, and 3, scoop number 1 and scoop number 2 and scoop number 3 used to be the only ones that had the scoops. So they recommended that I add scoops in the picture for scoop number 5 and scoop number 6 for scoop number 6.
So they, their suggestion was you added a visual representation that was consistent for each scoop that made it from the eye more consistent.
Yeah, so there's so many elements to a picture book and even I would assume to any book. And it's very difficult to focus on everything. And so when I was publishing for Duke, there would be a time when I was just looking for editing. And then another time when I was just looking at the pictures or just looking at the captions or just looking at, you know, certain sections. Because of the details, you want to make sure that it's consistent and that that it flows right. And so it's a process. Editing is a process. And it's not something that you just read over and you're like, it's great, like you would just read somebody else's book. You really have to like get a magnifying glass and focus in on small details in little chunks at a time. And that's how you make it better. And getting the feedback like that, where they're saying, hey, you need more scoops, was invaluable because then it made it consistent. And that was something, you know, just by having other peers and grownups review it made the book better for when she officially published it.
And if we take this back to Tyler's question of how do you publish the book, Tyler, to go through those steps, and Elizabeth helped me out with this. Step one was you had many, many drafts that led to a draft that then you wanted to share. And when you had something you wanted to share that you felt had the story and captured the principles and the message, then you put that out there and had people review it. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you started to do what?
Edit. You got to.
So then you edited, and then what happened?
And then once you edit it, you send it back again. You send it back out. Yeah. So this is back and forth.
You keep editing until
you're happy.
Until you're happy and everyone else thinks so too.
And you may not like everyone, but for the most part, there's a consensus where this is strong. Like there's consistency, there's no grammatical errors, you know, that type of stuff. And that ultimately it still has to be true to the author and the author's
book. And then you publish through who?
So we published through both Amazon and Ingram Spark. And the reason we did that was because this is a children's book and we wanted to have, we thought about distribution. And so if you only go with Amazon, then brick and mortar stores like Barnes and Noble and small bookstores will not carry your book, or it's very difficult for them to carry your book. And so we had envisioned that this book, Abigail wanted every kid to have in her vision, every kid would have access to it. And so we decided we would go through Amazon for the Amazon distribution, but for everything else, it would be Ingram Spark, so that she had a hardcover version or hardback because she wants it in the library. So libraries need hardcover books because for children, it needs to last. And so Ingram Spark does that. And also they distribute to Barnes and Noble and the smaller book, privately owned book companies. And so when we were at Jackson Hole, for example, the book companies, bookstores there both carried the book and they invited Abigail to come and sign it. And so they were distributing her book because it was available through Ingram Spark. They view Amazon as a competitor. So they frown upon that and they're not gonna go to Amazon. They will go through Ingram Spark because that's where they get all their books. That's why we did that. And then once you upload it, the thing is every publisher has different requirements. So what you lay out for Amazon is not gonna work for Ingram Spark. And if you want an ebook, that's different from the Kindle requirement. So there's 4 different formats for her book. So you have to either pay someone to change up all the formats, and also like the hardcover, that's different from the paper with what they require, just because the spacing and the size is a little different. So there's a lot of technical, you can hire someone to do that. Because I was knowledgeable about that, I was able to do it. But that probably isn't something that I would that may not be something a kid wants to do, because there's a lot of learning the Adobe programs is, you know, it takes time. I wouldn't say it's something you can just pick up and learn. It's not that intuitive.
Yes, you'll definitely want to hire out anything that is not. Yes, the answer is, I think that for anyone listening to this call who doesn't already have a knowledge in some of the systems, that there are many different companies out there that would help to make this really efficient for you at not some extraordinary or exorbitant cost. But it would just take a lot of challenges and frustrations off your plate to have someone who's kind of an expert in those areas. So Tyler, I want to go back to you, buddy. Do you feel good about, there you are. Do you feel good about that answer? Okay, cool. Are there any more
parts to it?
Are there any more questions before I ask some more questions?
Hey, Brother James, I have a question. Oh,
great.
No, Chris, you go first.
Cool. So my question is, there are three, maybe four people in my house writing a book right now. As a family unit, how did you get behind Abigail and really support that? And what would be a suggestion for like supporting somebody?
That's a
great question.
So I look back at our family culture. And so we as a family embrace each other's differences and strengths and even our unique, like what makes us unique and even our weaknesses. And so all three of my kids are just uniquely different. And so I've had a conversation with Brother James about this. And, you know, I don't know if anyone else does it, but the way I approach my day is like through time blocking. And so like there's certain times of the day when I'm more creative and other times of the day where I do kind of, work that doesn't require a lot of brain power. And so with our kids, it's the same way that we support each other. We don't compete with each other. And so right now when Abigail's book launch was going on, that was a season where we all rallied behind Abigail. And we were there to support her. We showed up for her. Even Ellie was drawing Super Kids, because this book really is for everyone. But that's what we do. We have to show up for each other, because ultimately we're in each other's front row. And as much as we show up for Abigail, we do the same for Cameron. When he's into something, he's our pianist. And so, you know, we're cheering him on, and he was asked to accompany our piano teacher for recital, because she's also a singer. And so instead of being upset that they couldn't do it, we were excited that he could practice for a big goal like that. So I think we have to support each other as a family. Like that's just part of our family dynamic, is that we're not competing. It's not that everyone doesn't need to be writing a book, but everyone has to support each other.
My brother is good at
piano. Wait, who just said that? Your brother is good at piano.
So we support my brother when he's like practicing piano. He actually played songs in my dad's book. So that's how we support him. And we support my sister because she's a good dancer and she's good at singing. So she likes to sing a lot.
And the other way that we do it is that with the rhythm of our days, like there's certain things that don't go away regardless of who's doing what. Like, so we have our morning routines, but we also have our nighttime rituals where I have one-on-one time with the kids and we talk, you know, we read, we do stories, we do our high-low ahas in the evening time, which is
dinner
yeah. time,
around,
which is
around like when we're eating, like close to the end of dinner. When we're eating. So if you're wondering what high, low, high is, do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. So high is your high moment, which is your favorite part of the day. So it's high. Low is your low moment, which means it's like
maybe something that was frustrating or difficult.
Or something
for you
that could be improved from the day. And the aha is something that you've learned. Like maybe you went to school and then you learned something, or maybe it was a lesson, like maybe you learned
For example, maybe you learned that it's good to share with other people. Like, you can learn all sorts of things.
And then the other thing I'm just going to add to that is that family communication is critical for us, and we do that usually at mealtime. Mm-hmm. So mealtime is a big deal for us. Like, every meal that everyone's home, as much as possible, we're at the quote-unquote dinner, breakfast, lunch table. And we are having conversations. And so maintaining the pulse of each other and knowing what's going on in each other's minds and hearts, it's just critical. So having a good communication with your family. Yep. And that way you know how to show up for them.
Awesome. No, that's, yeah, there's, in order to know how to show up for your family, it's, Carissa, to go back to that question you had of how do you show up for them? It's something I noticed spending the amount of time that I just spent with the Perez family is that they have a great deal of respect for listening to one another at the breakfast, lunch, dinner table. And, you know, Elizabeth and Philip do a great job of helping the kids to be considerate of each other and allow if someone's talking and someone interrupts, saying, hey, this person was talking, and then it's instant almost that the person who might have almost interrupted then becomes a good listener. So it's not a seamless thing that just naturally happens. There's mm-hmm. still the organized kind of mom and dad being able to help to navigate the conversations at the table that allow each person to be heard. And we've only got about 10 minutes left. So Matt, did you have a question, buddy? What was your question?
I did have a question. My question was for Abigail. Were there any challenges that you had while you were writing this book that were big challenges that made you want to quit writing the book? And if there were, what did you do to overcome those challenges?
Well, I didn't really want to quit writing the book, but I kind of almost did. Like, I almost, like, gave up writing when I was on... when I was about to start Super Kids, which was my second book that I was going to write, because I started with Super A, so I was on that, like, right before I started Super Kid, which was my second draft. Like, no, not my second draft, but, well, yeah, the second title. So, anyway, I was on Super A, and then... I was writing out about a girl, and there were bullies that always made fun of her, and she was trying to stop them. So she was, like, trying all sorts of things, like to hide from them and stuff, but all of them didn't work. So I was trying to make it more funny, so... I made a part where Alice was the girl that was bullied. She disguised herself as a girl with yellow poofy hair. Her hair was really brown. She disguised herself as someone with yellow poofy hair, and then she wore a hat to school. So,
well, there was a point where Abigail was very stuck too.
Yeah.
And she needed, and I had to remind her that you can't just give up, because I know it's in you, and let's talk about it. And I think that's where parents can come in, because it's not natural to be resilient. And so being able to encourage your child to talk through it, and then you were really frustrated. And then I think we had the house to ourselves. I think Cameron and Ellie went to a birthday party or something, and yeah. She and I talked through it, and it clicked for her. She almost gave up,
and then
it clicked.
Yeah, because I was, like, thinking, come on, I just can't do this right now. And then I'm like, wait a minute, now I know what I can do.
And then it clicked.
Yeah, it clicked. Mm. And then I got to Super Kid, which is even closer to how to be a super kid.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Is there one more question? We've got time for one more question before we end the call with the Super Kids song. Do we have any more questions? I'm scrolling through to see if anybody has their hands up.
How many people are there?
Well, there's like 12 people here, or maybe 16.
One
oh, no, wait, I'm in each screen. Laura, did you have a question? I saw you just video just popped on. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. So great. I'm wondering how much the cost or like the budget that you have for this class, because I think it's really intimidating to think like writing a book, it sounds super expensive, and that could be a reason, or like it's an excuse that I give myself for not writing a book because it seems really expensive. So I'm just wondering like what the cost ended up being and like how doable it is for everyone.
Okay.
And Elizabeth, I'd love to have you answer that. I'd love to just one thing before you answer that question, which is just, I know that there's been other investments that you've made that, right? So, you know, that I just want to say that I think you and I are on the same page with that.
Yes, we are. And so when we talk about just the book, it doesn't cost really much to publish a book through Amazon or Ingram. There's a little bit more cost associated with Ingram because I think there's a fee to upload. The other thing which I didn't mention was you want to purchase your USB code, the code on the back, if you want to, because you can, or ISBN code. You want to purchase that if you want to publish through Ingram Spark. Don't use Amazon's. And so that's going to, I think it's $100 for that, but we bought the pack of 10 because we knew we wanted other versions of it. So that's a couple $100. But we as a family had approached this as like everything, the way we handled it is that we actually have a business that handles Abigail's book thing. That's not a requirement, but that's something that we did. And so there was more cost associated with legal and everything else. Like she actually has already submitted for a trademark for How to Be a Super Kid. That's not a requirement for publishing a book. So it's kind of hard to answer that question other than if you just want to publish a book, and you go through Amazon, it's pretty much free. It's not a huge investment. If you want to have other distributors, a couple $100. But in order for a book to really take off, you're going to have to invest, whether it's in advertising through social media or you do book tours, or it's going to cost you absolutely in time and some money. So I hope that answered. It shouldn't discourage you from writing.
And I love what you said. It's going to be an investment of time, and I'm going to follow it up because this year or this past year, all the things that Elizabeth is talking about in regards to the ABCs of writing a book, getting the peer reviews, the cost of adding Ingram Spark on there to the Amazon versus just having Amazon. When I published my book last year, the largest cost was actually getting the physical copies in my hand because they were roughly for mine, which was like 85-90 pages with a front cover and a back cover, no artwork inside, just print. Right. And I'm telling you this because Abigail's book has illustrations, there's color, there's actually many elements to it that make it a different type of book, with a different type of need, meaning like Abigail illustrated, that had to be all put into pictures. The hard cost was in the editing. So whoever's going to edit is going to be one hard cost. Sorry. And you can get that hard cost. You can get that editor for anywhere from, depending on who you and who your mom and dad know, or who your friends might know, anywhere from, let's just say, $25 to $60 an hour in editing for someone to edit it. So depending on how long your book is going to be, so you're going to have an editing cost, and then you're going to have a cost of getting it onto Amazon. If you want to have physical copies for a 65 to 85 page book, it's about $5 a book. A great resource that we used was a resource called bookbaby.com. Bookbaby.com. Which is, I, as a musician, I've produced through CD Baby dozens of songs between the bands I've been in. And Book Baby is just like CD Baby. They're like a plug and play. And so Book Baby also is a really efficient way to get quotes. And they put your stuff out there digitally. So there's, I would say, anywhere from $800 to $2,500 at the low end is what you'll spend to get your book out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like somewhere between $800 and $2,500 is about that cost. And if you want to get physical copies, the physical copies That is actually, depending on how much you want to sell them for, there's an opportunity and where you're going to sell them. There's an opportunity to create revenue on the physical copies of books. If you're going to be at, like, let's say a front row event, right? And you bring 20 copies and you've paid $5 per copy and you sell those 20 copies at 10. Now you've doubled your money, you've paid it back. Plus you have an extra $5. You have an extra $100. Does that make sense in regards to your physical copies are generally going to be a way for you to create revenue, but it's not necessary to have 100 of your own books physically there unless you have a spot that you're going to actually sell them. And that's where a cost comes in that is worth considering if you want to have your physical copies versus just having them digitally, because there's a difference in cost there.
There is. And also, we, when you talked about the physical, I registered through Texas to sell books. So you have to pay taxes on that. And then if you do have physical copies, if somebody orders it from you, you have to pay for shipping tax and all of that. So there's all, from a business standpoint, it really is a business. You have to function like it, because you don't want to be somewhere selling your books and somebody says, do you have the license to resell? And you don't.
Yeah. And there's a, Laura, you saw Chandler Bolt at Best Year Ever Blueprint. Self-publishing school is a phenomenal resource to move through this in a very efficient way. I essentially used the self-publishing model, talking into my phone, Chandler's model, having not just talking into my phone, but like talking into my audio and then having that transcribed, was in a very efficient way for me to then write the book, because I was able to just talk it while I was driving or while I was on a run and stopping and being like, I have ideas right now, and talking those out and then sending those to get transcribed. That was one way. Chandler's program is a great asset to anyone wanting to write a book. And Elizabeth is a great example. The key thing that she talked about is, you know, why do you want to write a book? So knowing why you want to write a book, is it to position you in some way? Is it to grow a brand? Is it to just get the ideas out of you? Is it to have an adventure? Like, why do you want to write the book, and who do you want to serve? Mm-hmm. What are some of the goals you want to have in regards to, like, what might you want to do with the book? So not only why do you want to write the book, who do you want to serve, but what are some of the outcomes you might want to have, your highest hopes for the book? And then realistically, talking to Laura, you know, knowing your family and the number of people who are going to be writing books in your family or are attempting to write books, is having a conversation. How might you do something unique where you're packaging them together? How might you work together on a project? How might you do something that allows more collaboration and potentially partnerships or lower costs? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ideas when you have four people writing a book. So I know that we're getting very close here to we are at the time we need to let Elizabeth and Abigail go. Can we give Elizabeth and Abigail a big virtual round of applause, everyone? Hey, Francesca, can you clap your hands for us? She's clapping her hands. Elizabeth and Abigail, thank you so, so much for taking the time to visit with us. I know that you all have a super crazy busy schedule. You're off to jujitsu. To finish this call, this one goes out to Abigail. Every super kid has a super routine. Mine is affirmations and eating clean. I exercise and journal so I can be wise. I go to bed early. Early is when I rise. When life gets hard and I hit the wall, I'm not afraid to fail, get up, stand tall. Super kid. My powers have no limit. I'm making up my mind. My life is well designed. Today's the day to shine. I am a super kid. So come on, kids, it's super kid time. Well, every super kid has a super kid power. Your powers don't require that you're knocking down towers. Powers in our hearts. and in our minds. Believe within yourself, you are one of a kind. When life gets hard and you hit the wall, don't be afraid to fail, get up, stand tall. Super kid, my powers have no lid. I'm making up my mind, my life is well designed. Today's the day to shine. I am a super kid. So come on, kids, it's super kid time. When bullies call us names, let it go, don't act the same. Six scoops to claim a life you love every day. Super kid, my powers have no limit. I'm making up my mind, my life is well designed. Today's the day to shine. Well, I am a super kid. So come on, kids.
It's super kid time.
Oh, let's give one more round of applause to Elizabeth and Abigail for joining us, giving us the goods on how to be a super kid, how to be a super family. Thank you so much for joining us. Have an incredible time at Jiu-Jitsu. Thanks for having me in your home. I can't wait to see the video. And air high fives.
Yay!
We will leave the meeting now. Everyone have an amazing night. Thank you for joining us on our Learn and Grow call. Look out for February 25th, Learn and Grow call with Julie Riesler. That is going to be a blast. And we'll see you all real soon.
Bye.
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 Bye, Emmy, Lindsay, and Ty. Bye, Matt. Bye, Carissa. Bye, Laura. Bye, Corrine.